So we're almost to the end of the letter to the Hebrews. And this is kind of a summary of the whole argument of the letter. And it's also a listing of the ways that the people who are receiving the letter can behave if they want to create the kind of community that God intended for them to create all along. Let mutual love continue. Love one another. Jesus said that. Jesus borrowed it from his Jewish tradition. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Don't hesitate to welcome strangers. Because in doing so, some have welcomed angels without knowing it. Angels simply being messengers of God. Isn't it interesting the way they phrase it? Because they welcome angels without knowing it, which means they didn't have on white robes, they didn't have wings, they didn't have halos, they didn't look like our stereotypical image of an angel. They didn't look like those little cherubs that we have created, or those angels that we base on the seraphim and the cherubim. No, they looked like ordinary people who happened to be bringing a word from God for us. Just like the soldiers brought a word from God, they didn't come preaching. They just simply coaxed people into doing what they knew they could and should do anyway. They became their angels. Share with one another. Don't hesitate to do good. Keep the vows that you make, those marriage vows. But we also make other vows, don't we? We had a baptism in the first service, and every time we have a baptism, which fortunately is frequent here, we say that we renew our vows to support what God is doing in and through this congregation with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Vows of sharing, basically. In a sense, what the writer here is doing is giving us a summary of what it takes to help create that new city, that city God is bringing down out of heaven that we call the reign of God, the kingdom of God, that we can actually participate in God's dream for this world. And this is how we do it. These are the ways that we participate in God's dream. And this is part of the eternal covenant. Now, a covenant is simply an agreement between two individuals or two groups. And often we see it as a kind of quid pro quo. I'll do this for you if you do that for me. I'll give you this if you give me that. It's a trade-off. And often we see the covenant that God has offered in that same language, in those same terms. But I think that's a mistake. I think we need to reframe the idea of covenant when we apply it to God, because you see, God gave us everything and initiated it all before we had any knowledge of it. God is not a deal maker. God did not say, okay, I will create this world if you. God said, let there be light, let there be, let there be, let there be. Because God desired someone with whom to have a relationship. And guess who it is? Us, human beings. So God's covenant is a covenant that gives us everything we are and everything we have. And often we use language about giving that back to God, but I don't think that's quite accurate. What we're required to do in this covenant really is to pass it along, to use those gifts we've been given in order to create the community that God has dreamed that would take place, that would be created on this earth, the reign of God, the kingdom of God. In essence, we are to take all of those potatoes and carrots and onions we've been hiding, that salt and that meat that we've been hiding, and offer it so that that can be used. And when we do that, there's always more than enough. Always more than enough for everyone. So covenant is not simply a tit-for-tat kind of deal, a quid pro quo. It is God giving us all the resources we need to fulfill God's dream and then inviting us into that fulfillment, inviting us into that dream, helping us to live it out so that the kingdom of God may come on earth as it is in heaven. This is the Sunday that we collect pledges. And our leaders, you know, my favorite part of that text is where it says, obey your leaders and submit to them. I like that. Never had it happen, but I like the idea. I don't think it means that leaders are to be dictators. I really don't. I do think it means that leaders are to be like those soldiers in the story who come and show us how to share. And sometimes we need to be coaxed, don't we? Last year during our legacy campaign and faithful giving campaign, I know I talked way more about money than I ever wanted to, and I'm sure I talked more about it than you ever wanted me to. But we are already seeing the effects of that in this building. And we'll continue to see those over the months to come because God has given us a place to gather, to learn, to worship, to breathe in the presence of God so that then we can go out to serve. That's the respiration of the church. We breathe in to worship and learn. We breathe out to go and serve. We breathe in to worship and learn. We breathe out to go and serve. It's a living body, and it is the body of Christ. And leaders are here not to make people submit, but to offer the example, like the soldiers did, of how when we do pool our resources, when we do all share, there is always more than we need, more than enough for all. This year, our leaders are asking that we, if we can, increase our pledge 10%. If you don't pledge, just pledge. If you already pledge, increase it 10%. Maybe you can do that, maybe you can't. Maybe you can increase it more. Guess what? Nobody's going to kick you out if you don't. God's not going to get you if you don't. I often wish sometimes, no, I don't really, but it would be interesting to try a theology where if you don't do what I say, you're going to hell, but I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second. It can be a great motivator, but it's terrible theology. What it will do is give you an opportunity to take part in creating God's dream and what God is doing in this world, which is even more exciting, isn't it? And so whatever you choose to do, just before our closing hymn, there will be a time when we're going to invite you to come down for prayer, to bring your pledge card. If you have your pledge card ready, place it on the chancel rail. It'll be picked up there. But you may not have it ready. You may not know quite yet what you want to do. You may have already pledged. You may have done so online. You're welcome to come simply for a time of prayer. Your situation in life may mean that your circumstances don't allow you to give much money, but you have skills, you have passions. You know about things that can help the church, and sometimes you will have skills we don't even know we need. You will have a yearning that we don't even know is at our heart too. I know a couple of years ago, some folks came to talk about caring and giving respite for those who are caring for folks with Alzheimer's. We call it Sunny Day. We didn't even know we needed that. But they had that gift and they had that passion. And they were willing to give their time to offer respite to caregivers. Being a part of God's dream in the world. So when we invite you down, you're welcome just to come and pray. Perfectly fine. Open your heart, your mind, your lives for God to teach you the gifts you have to share and then to encourage you to share those, whatever those are. Because you see, we are all in this together, like those villagers. We all have gifts to offer. We all have something to put into this great soup that we call church. I don't know what you have. You don't know what I have, but together, I can pretty much assure you, if we combine all of our gifts, we will have more than enough for all. It seems to me, folks, that is a very high calling to be a part of God's dream in whatever way we can. That invitation is not just to bring a pledge card or just to come and pray. It is to come and be a part of the dream that God is realizing in this world. What a high calling. I hope you'll accept that invitation.